May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I don't normally, or ever, I don't think, use notes when I'm doing the noon thing, but I kind of wanted to keep it concise, and there's some things I sent out to the church earlier that I want to just speak from for a few minutes. Well, I thought it was. Yeah, there we go. Here's the thing. We celebrated Maundy Thursday last night, and then some of us stuck around and watched the Passion of the Christ. And I haven't seen it since it came out 14 years ago. The first time I saw it was that I broke a 30-day fast after we saw the movie. So it was on Ash Wednesday. And so the second time I saw it last night was my 11th day of fast. So both times I've seen the movie, I've been fasting. I think you have to be fasting. This is that movie to survive it. It's just too intense. And I haven't watched it all these years because it's just so intense. And there are parts of the movie that I'm so grateful for. It blows me away. But I really appreciated it at the end when he said it's finished. He actually used the words, it's accomplished, which is a better translation than the words, it's finished. But one of the things that I was reminded of last night, just even in the movie and then the scriptures lately all surrounding Holy Week, is when Jesus said that from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, I could give you a standard answer to that, and, you know, been doing this for a long time, and I've heard, you know, different things about that. But it was always something a little bit more. I just felt like, I just want to understand that a little bit more. And so I woke up this morning, actually, early, thinking that, Lord, I just want to understand that a little bit more. And so I just kind of hung out, Lord, and I believe there are some just things he shared with my heart that isn't really new, but it has a new layer for me and maybe a new layer for you in terms of just, again, when Jesus said what he accomplished, how much he accomplished on our behalf. I'll just read this a little bit to you and then read a couple of things and share a few words, but this way I won't meander. On the cross, something happened that we can barely understand. All of our sins were placed on him. This is what someone else said, and I liked the way they said it. To put it another way, he became guilty in God's eyes of every sin the human race ever committed. Think of it. He was sinless, but he allowed all of our sins to be transferred to him. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God made him who knew no sin, sin on our behalf. And I've always felt that not only did he take the penalty of our sin, but he actually, every sin that's ever been committed, every crime that's ever been committed or ever would be committed of any kind of any form, and just think of some of the horrible things we hear that people do to people today. The nature of all those sins we ever committed, every sin you've ever committed, Jesus took on the guilt of that. And I believe that he felt the weight of all that, the horror of all that. Not the guilt of his guilt, but the guilt of our guilt. And I believe that's why it says that on the cross he despised the shame. He experienced the shame of every sin that's ever been committed in history. Now, you think about the movie, The Passion. One of the things I do appreciate about it, it depicts pretty accurately, biblically, how terribly, physically, he was battered and bruised. How much he was torn and bruised and swollen. But that's nothing compared to what he experienced spiritually and emotionally. And I think that scripture says that despise the shame didn't just mean he didn't care how much shame it brought him because of his great love for us. I believe that there's truth to that for sure. But there's another side to that also. I also believe that he experienced all of our shame. He hated it. He hates what shame has done to us. He hates the shame that sin has brought to humanity. Because God created us out of love. We were created uniquely to be in his image, to reveal his likeness, to walk in fellowship with him. And he despises what shame has done as a result of sin. And I believe he experienced the collective shame on the cross. And so this is the original Apostles' Creed. Unfortunately, a lot of churches have modernized the Apostles' Creed to make it not sound so brutal or switch it around. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again. The modern version says He descended to death. But the original was He descended into hell. And what the early church believed is that at some point, Jesus experienced the full punishment of our sin. And the full punishment of our sin was hell. And I don't believe, during the 3 days that Jesus had died, He did go into Hades, preached the gospel, you know, presented the blood before the altar in heaven. But I believe in those moments, at that ninth hour, just before Jesus said, "It's all accomplished." I believe when He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" He experienced for the moment the full punishment of what it is to be forsaken. Because that's what hell is. To know that you're separated from the love of God, the experience of the love of God, the love of God's there, but you can't know it experientially. That's what the Orthodox Church has always believed. Now remember again when Jesus says, if He died for all men, 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, therefore all died. And Jesus died for and as collective humanity. The way that He made all things new is that you and I, before we were ever born, all of humanity went to the cross in the person of Jesus. And all of humanity paid for their sin in their substitute, Jesus. And that's why the Scripture says that you were in Him. You were crucified with Him. You were buried with Him. And you rose again with Him as a new creation. At the cross, in His death, burial, and resurrection, He made all things new. I love that part of the movie. I don't know if that's when it actually happened at all, historically, but when His mother comes to Him, and He's carrying the cross and the Via della Rosa, and He says, "See, Mother, I'm making all things new." That's like my favorite, one of my favorite places in all that movie. Jesus did come to make all things new. A whole new humanity. And He did that at the cross, and by taking collective humanity to the place of the cross, so that in Him we were taken to the place of execution. And the sinner that we were died and was buried, and we rose up in union with His life, resurrection life, as new creations, with a new power to live a whole new life. He paid for what we did, and He crucified who we were. That's the great solution. But if that's true, that at the cross, Jesus died as our representative, see, here's what I believe. That His cry, my God, why have You forsaken Me, also represented all of us. It was our heart cry. He experienced hell for us. Even if briefly, for a moment, while hanging on the cross. So that you and I, who have said yes to Him, this is potentially true for every human being, but it only becomes personally true for those who say yes to Him, who, quote, are born again. If it's true that in His person, He represented us, and when He was saying, my God, why have You forsaken Me? He was representing you and me. You and I, therefore, never, ever, after ever have to fear God ever saying to us again that He has forsaken us. Ever. He even tells us, doesn't He? I will never leave you or forsake you. You never have to fear that eternally. He'll never say to you, if you're in Christ, because it's already happened in the person of Jesus. You don't have to fear Him ever saying to you, I forsake you eternally, because Jesus as you, didn't just die for you, died as you, already experienced that on our behalf. And therefore, also in between, no matter how many times you fail in your learning how to practice righteousness, He may correct you, He may speak into your life, but you'll never hear Him say, He's forsaken you. He's somehow abandoned you. The emphasis today on people getting set free from the orphan spirit, I understand what you're saying, but you need to realize Jesus took care of that at the cross. A lot of the things that we do today at Inner Healing were taken care of 2,000 years ago. Jesus took care of all that. We never have to fear Him ever saying to us, He's abandoned us. Not just eternally, but in time and space. Because we're in Christ. And Christ, on our behalf, accomplished that too. When Jesus said, I've accomplished that, He accomplished any forsakenness that we would ever have to experience so that you and I never have to fear that again. And you go, well, then what's going to be my motivation to walk with the Lord? Love. Which is the only one that impresses Him. It'd be terrible if some man said to his wife, I'm not going to be unfaithful or hurt you or wrong you because you might abandon me. No, I'm not going to do this because I love you. It talks about in Luke chapter 1, the prophecy of Zechariah, that we would walk in holiness without fear. But the motivation for holiness is fear that God might abandon you even for a moment. Decide to pout, turn His back on you. Then that's not the holiness of freedom that Jesus came to purchase for us. He accomplished that. You never have to fear that ever again as long as you live. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.